Fab, you know, I can explain this before we go on. You and Steve, who tagged who in?
This is like we needed the formation to be changed this week on Milan. That's exactly what's happening on the network here.
We changed formation. We changed formation. I was gonna go with the wrestling that, you know, he tagged you in, and you know, guys, Steve will be on Coast to Coast this coming Wednesday, but. Mr. Fabio, siamo pronti?
Siamo pronti! Andiamo!
Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast, the English voice of Milan fans all over the world, with your hosts, Vinny T and Stevie P.
Benvenuti nella casa della
Milan! Giroud in area, si gira, sinistro! Rete! Capolavoro di Olivier Giroud.
Maignan with another magical save.
Mamma mia, Theo Hernandez! Coast to coast del numero 19.
Leao carica il mancino. Eccolo qua.
Cari amici sportivi, welcome to another edition of the Milan Weekly Podcast. Here we talk everything Milan, another derby loss, Milan, non ce la faccio più, Milan, and coming in, tag teaming in for Stevie P this week, Fabio, straight off his nice trip from Boston, which we're going to get into. But before we get our guest in, Fabio, before I let you talk about the party, you know, what should people do? You know, what should people do?
Guys, do us a favor. Do us a solid. Please, if you can, like the video, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you don't miss any videos that we have coming up. It greatly appreciated.
There we go. Guys, special guest this week. You know, it's good because I think it was going to be probably just me and you screaming at each other, Fab, but the frustration, especially coming from a beautiful weekend that you just had in Boston. We're getting into that. Guys, please welcome, you know, for us Canadians, well, sorry, we can watch you illegally on these boxes because, you know, I'm just the United States. Christine Coupeau from, before President tells me I have to go put the ticker at the bottom so everybody knows. You see this nice little ticker. So, Serie A host from CBS Sports and the Calcio and Cappuccino podcast, welcome. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Echo me. Hi. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I guess that makes me the referee for the evening, though, it sounds like. Are you guys just going to, or am I the therapist?
You could be, well, if you're going to, the therapist could be good unless she needs to go to VAR. Fabio, maybe she needs to go to VAR, some reviews. But hopefully, I'm the cool, calm, collected kind of guy, try to be positive. Fabio is... He's an emotional guy, but I think after this 2023 for Milan East season, no, it's been bad. But before we get into it, Christine, for people living under a rock or anybody that's, you know, watching from abroad that does not know CBS Sports or your podcast.
For those that are not watching under suspicious situations.
I never knew of you before this very moment. But yeah, no,
nice to be acquaintance, stranger. No, yeah. So I am part of the Serie A team for Paramount Plus / CBS Sports. I co-host our Calcio Cappuccino pod. I'm also an analyst and a reporter. So sometimes you'll see me, sometimes you won't. In terms of reporting, I had the fine occasion of getting to cover last season with the AC Milan New York City gang. And I adore them. I consider them mine now. I don't know if they realize that, but some just wonderful human beings.
And how did you get into Serie A? Where did you get into this whole, like, you know, into the sports journalism? But why, you know, Serie A of all leagues?
Why Serie A? Okay, so I am Italian-American. I started playing ball when I was 4. I've played my entire life. I started following Serie A when it wasn't the most accessible thing to be watching. I fell in love with Juventus. I know. Del Piero, that whole gang were just like so good. My dog is named after Gigi Buffon. from there, like, it just became second nature, right? Like, that's just part of your life. So I started off actually not even remotely working in sports. I was in financial services. I was a total nerd. But still playing soccer, I ran one of the largest pickup groups in New York City for over a decade. From that, I would just do random spots for different soccer, college show, whatever, for fun. And then I decided to freelance and got caught up with Juventibus, which was a Juventus-specific Twitch channel outlet, primarily in Italy, that were looking to build out their English language portion of the show. And we're like, hey, so what's up? And then that was right around the time the pandemic hit, and the rest is history. So it kind of just was like a slip and a fall and a tumble into probably the most fun slash stressful few years of my life now.
But you know what? You talk about the English content, and you know, it's a good thing because there's not a lot of English content, especially Serie A. And that's what we've been trying to do, you know, for just to bring out, you know, the English content, because you know, marketing wise and you know, the way Serie A is maybe marketed around the world. But it's great that, you know, it's true, just before the pandemic, and you know, the and looking at these events that you guys do, or even the pregame and the postgame discussion, it's always fun. I mean I hear it's fun to watch on the CBS. Bob, you tell
it's a really good time. I have heard from some others that have managed to watch from abroad that the show is wholly enjoyable, which we have a great team. We really, really do. Super knowledgeable, fun gang. Can't go wrong with that, right? Like,
check them out, guys. Fabio, you watch it directly there from Long
Island. Yeah, first, I've seen Christine at all great, like, times to be with the New York City club. Unfortunately, I wasn't there myself at those times, but you were there during like the best games towards the end of last season. We've seen you at the Napoli place so far. My question is really, have you had the opportunity to be there with the Juventus club? Because I know they share legends as well.
We have had the opportunity just as a civilian to spend time with the Juventus Empire State. They are a wonderful group of people. Obviously, people tend to show up more sparsely when things are not so great. The vibe's not particularly high for various reasons, which we all know. But I find it very hard to, you know, like toss a pebble in this city and like not hit like some cultural fan of some variety. So it's great that we get to tap into sort of those communities that I feel like are underrepresented, because all of you do most of the heavy lifting, right? Like all of the actual individual fan clubs and your coordination with each other are probably the best representation of all of us. Like for me, that makes me really proud as somebody that has been a community builder. It's not easy. It's a passion project for sure. It's often a thankless job, but the number of friends that you make and the relationships that you build and reclaiming some of that cultural aspect with each other is priceless.
That's awesome. That's really good. And two last questions, important questions. So Steve would have to make me ask you. This is very important, Christine. Uh-huh. There's only one right answer.
Uh-oh.
Penne lisce or penne legate? Think.
I'm like, I wish I knew the context behind this. I have to go penne legate.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Steve, she's okay. Steve, she's okay. I hope he hears this. Because penne lisce, they just, Steve says they're going in like goldfish. There's no texture. You can't eat the penne lisce. And who's the worst Twitter? What's the worst Twitter fandom? Milan's or Juve on Twitter? Because, you know, Twitter is a completely different world.
You know, I feel like the weird equalizer here is that I think every single fan base has their worst fans. Also somehow are very loud. And I don't know if it's true that, you know, they're in numbers, but they certainly are louder than some of the more measured, level-headed fans for any of the clubs.
at least it's entertaining. That's what's important, right?
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it actually gets really disgusting, and I'm just sort of like, are you guys okay? Like, do we just go in on a group therapy membership? Because this shouldn't be this serious. Like, I understand, like, we are a passionate people. Like, on a normal day, like, we're probably operating at a 9 out of 10. On an extraordinary day, it's astronomical and we're insufferable. I get it. But we have a weird way of moderating our emotions as a whole.
Mark just said, yeah, describing Twitter in general. Speaking,
you're not wrong, Mark.
And you guys, some of the guys will know wrestling Twitter is even worse. Yes, I'm a 43 grown man. I watch wrestling. It's fine. Everybody knows.
What's wrong with wrestling?
No, some people judge me. Some people judge me. It's still real to me, damn it. But
first of all the world's a stage. All the world's a stage per Shakespeare. It's high drama, athleticism. Those guys legitimately, if you follow anything, get really, really badly injured and otherwise and put their bodies on the line for everybody's entertainment. I think wrestlers deserve a lot of respect.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Maybe we'll just have a wrestling podcast.
Vinny's going to clip that part and save it.
Fabio, you know what? I know CBS was there. Christine couldn't be there, but why don't you show
that,
us?
That's all that was missing. That's
so Presidente lent you the presidential helicopter. You flew in from Long Island to Boston.
Yeah, presidential helicopter. I drove 4 hours each way, all right? Don't rob me of the suffering of driving.
Like, Vinny, like, I hear the Milan clubs are like rolling in dough. What's happening?
Yes, we the Milan club here, but Presidente, he teaches us how to be stingy. You know, he's the George Costanza of the Milan club. So he makes sure, where are we spending this money? You know, the Excel spreadsheet is always there. And when the bills come in, how much beer did you buy, Vince? How much pitchers did you buy? How many were you? Okay, everything's no. So there was no high roll.
Frugal, Vinny. It's
frugal. Frugal.
Sorry, do you have an independent auditor, or like, am I going to have to check your books?
No, no, President is an accountant. We make sure, you know, we are non-profit. We're a non-profit, so he needs to make sure. But Fabio, show me, man. Okay, so the helicopter did not come in.
I got the wonderful pleasure of basically, you guys know the deal. If you follow me and Gio on our show, Coast to Coast, we have a lot of love for Mark. Mark and Nick are the two basically club runners with the other Mark as well. But Mark Strupa has been above and beyond one of the great people to me and Gio, helping us out before we joined this podcast. So we had to support. And obviously, Gio's in California. It was difficult to get him out here. But from Long Island, I had to go support my brother. So I got to spend time with him and his beautiful wife. I got to spend time with the first lady and the president of Philadelphia, Dave and Angie. Unbelievable. I got to meet Nick for the first time with his wife, Anna. We got to have a nice dinner the night before. They got to show me Ducalis. That's where you guys might have seen that picture of me on the set. It's there with the microphone talking, joking about that I'm going to give a laxative to Marco so I can get on the broadcast somehow, some way. You know what? It was great just to be there and kind of experience it with them. And obviously, they've done a lot of great things in just such a short time. So let me bring up some of the pictures we have here. All right. So first and foremost, this is the first picture. Now, we were joking about this the whole day. This is what this guy, we were calling him, obviously Vinny's normal partner is Steve, but this is Steve's doppelganger right here. If you looked real fast and walked by, you might have thought Steve came down from Montreal. It wasn't. I don't know who the hell this guy was, but it was a great picture with him with our beloved Mark Strupa there. Here's Poppy with the three guys that run Boston, Nick, Mark, and Mark. Great. Poppy was so sweet. Here we are at the downstairs part of Ducalis. This is a great shot from J Ultra. He took a lot of great photos yesterday. So if you're not following him, follow him on Instagram. But just look, pack house. And you would never think this many people all came out. I mean, there were Napoli fans. There were Juventino fans. Just people who love City A came out to experience it. And plus, there was the whole upstairs, which is where the broadcast was.
Go back one picture.
Yes.
That's what we call the five families of the Milan clubs right back there. You see that Montreal scarf, you have New York scarf, we got the Philly scarf, we got the Boston. Those we've named ourselves the five at Toronto. We're the five families.
I love that so much.
And the Milan clubs. Please continue, Mr. Fabio.
All right. So, of course, we got a shot. Poppy and Matteo and Marco came down. They were hanging out during, I believe this was the second half at this point. So, of course, somebody had to slap on the scarf to Poppy when she came down. Here's another shot of Mateo. Really nice. He was great. He came down. He really got the Milan fans chanting. Of course, everybody knows Mateo Bonetti is a Milan fan.
He's a Milanista.
He got the chants going. I mean, he was great. It was really nice. He took pictures with everybody. Is another one. You see me and Dave screaming at the camera there. Again, we tried to keep the energy up most of the time, but, you know, the game itself was killing us. But here's, of course, and this one is a special one. This one's particularly just for Vinny, because Vinny told me I'm on strict orders, almost like a presidential mandate. I needed to buy Dave and Angie a drink. So this
you got them a drink.
I got them to drink, yes. And David's a hard man to buy anything for.
I know.
He doesn't let you pick up the tab. He's a great man. I love it. I'm not going to say I'm always diving for the check when it comes. But Dave is a great guy. And, you know, he understood.
I'm sorry.
But, like, Dave, I told him, said, look, this is from Vinny. So don't try no shit. Don't give the guy your card. Like, this one's on me, which was perfectly fine. They were great. Dave and Angie schmoozing it up with everybody. Everybody knew them, too. And here's another one of us, again, down at the crowd. Another shot. This was with the CBS people. You see a couple of camera guys down there. This is when Aaron West was doing a lot of his broadcasts. We're all from down here and in the cafe area. But I think that's my last one. But it was a great event. So many great pitches. There's tons. If you don't follow Milan Club Boston on Instagram and Mark Strupa, they have a ton of stuff out there. It was just
and
CBS shows why they are top class. Paramount Plus, CBS. Top class. This is the best company that we could have ever gotten for Italian fans to watch our city out, because we've had to deal with other companies with a plus at the end of their name too, which were better. The B-ins. I'm done with it. I'm riding with CBS until the wheels fall off. All right. Only thing that was missing was one extra person, which would have been great to be there.
You can just like, we'll get cardboard cutouts of me, or just like a Kupo sign. You can just like hang in the back, like,
come here. You know, I saw on social media, I think it was Mark, that said 5 years ago we did not exist. And, you know, 5 years after, look at us, where we've reached. And, you know, looking at CBS, Paramount Plus coming over, and looking back at the way Mark has been helping out a lot of these clubs. You know, if it wasn't for him, there would be no Milan Club Cleveland. You know, he's the one that reached out, not part of the Patreon family. You know, it's what we're able to create, this brotherhood and sisterhood of Milanistas. It's fantastic. And you know what? I'm just going to go, because looking at these pictures, right? Wow. And I'm going to give, we have the indigestions and the brioches of the week. You know, brioche makes you feel good. But my indigestion, guys, I'm going to say it right now. Milan Club Montreal. Milanistas in Montreal. I am embarrassed. I am embarrassed. We were overtaken by Interistas yesterday at Chocharos. We were maybe 10, 12, and they were about 40. Vergognatevi. Because in these times, you need to stick together and get the guys together and support your team. None of this, you know, oh, I can't, they're not playing too good. And it's just like, and the Inter fans, you know what? We played around and, you know, we were joking left, right, and center. I yelled at the old man again, Fabio. He deserved it. But that's a different story. But that's my...
You've been hanging out with me too much. Now you're yelling at old men?
It's the third time that he tries to do something and I yelled at him, okay? So, honestly, guys, I'm very disappointed. Milanistas in Montreal. It was cold on Friday. It was cold on Saturday. It had no excuses. And that's my two cents. And I hope you guys hear this, because I can't keep on going to Chicharos every single game and possibly have only two or three people show up. I do give up some of my time. We give up a lot of our time, whether it be Presidente, Mario, Steve, everybody. I just needed to say it, because looking at those pictures, that's what it should have been. Sorry, I needed to take this off my chest, because it really bugged me yesterday. But
I just want to say one thing. Even though I was in Boston with my Boston friends and Philly friends, my club in New York was packed, so we're still there. Regardless of our form, we're still coming out, and that's what Vinny's saying. So wherever you are, and just special shout-out again to Mark, all the different logos he's helped building, helping other people build clubs in different cities. So you don't – and a lot of times when you follow City A, you can kind of feel that you can't find other people who enjoy it as much as you do in this part of the world, right? So when you're able to go to a venue that's in a city nearby you and to experience the ups and downs of a season with your team, with other people that feel the same way, it's very important, especially in these days where we're struggling and we're wondering why we keep following this team. You have to be together because it's more about the family than anything else and the experience. So big ups to my people in New York. We're still coming out, and that's what I want to see, baby. And I can't wait to be there soon. I'll be there in Montreal soon. You watch out, Vinny.
Hopefully. You said ups and downs. Let's go with the downs of the downs. So, look, guys, people want to talk the day after the formation. What was he thinking and this and that? And we were seeing it on the group therapy before the game. I'm like, isn't this like a damned if you do, damned if you don't? Like, if you're going to try to something over again that doesn't work, now you're going to try something different. If it doesn't work, you're going to look stupid. What would you say, Christine? Like, you know, seeing that, okay, we're going to play like this 3-5-2, Leao's on the bench again. Did he need to change it up? Or at this point, it's just like, I don't know, like, is it a damned if you do and damned if you don't?
I think a little bit, right? So I wouldn't say that the 3-5-2 didn't work because you lost 1-0. It could have been far, far worse for sure. But because of the way that not only y'all set up, but how you actually played, right? It ended up being like a 5-man defense because you had Teo and Davide Calabria just kind of sitting back there. Like you parked the bus, essentially. They didn't have the freedom to move and do whatever they wanted to do. And things didn't change at all until they made the Leao and Sellemakers subs. And then it sort of pivoted a little bit more back to the usual 4-2-3-1 that you guys won a Scudetto with. But I think that the problem is that the 3-5-2 doesn't necessarily negate Inter entirely, right? Like, which you saw. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was like the most outlandish move to be like, okay, like Inter can't contend with us. No, like they definitely can. But you know, you guys definitely went from like Pioli's on fire to like, please flambe this man. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think that it was the wrong thing to do because again, it could have been a far worse loss. But how do you reconcile now that you are last season champions now coming into 2023 with a horrendous, somewhat inexplicable, though squad thin, I'll say, losing streak? It's a little bit confounding because does it mean that last season each and one of your players overperformed and now they're underperforming and that's the tragedy of it all? Because I think that that is at least one part. If you're throwing like little coins into a bucket, I think that's one of the things. You really do need Maignan. You've had some unfortunate injuries. There isn't the depth there. Like Inter are ridiculously deep. Okay. They're like what, 70th minute substitutions are Lukaku and Dzeko. Like, I mean, that's how it should be. Not every squad has the luxury of doing that, right? And I would have thought, I mean, I haven't counted Milan out yet in terms of finishing in top four, but you also have a lot of players that you brought on that were on the newish side, like De Ketelaere, who is wildly underperforming in, like, from what I've seen. He's not the impact player that I think I expected him to be, at least. So any of the extra sort of pizzazz that Milan had thought they picked up is turning out to be like very mid to functional. And that's unfortunate.
As Steve and I have called it the miracle Scudetto last year. We always, you know, we kept on saying there was no Napoli last year and we won the Scudetto with 10 men because we had no right wing and we still have no right wing. You know, Fabio, Christine brings up some good points. And, you know, for me, I'm not a Pioli out guy because I'm always going back to the. Now hold on. I go back to the quality of the players, right? Right. I don't care what kind of coach you are, right? You have Salamakers and Macias. So in the end, okay, I'm not a Pioli out, but then trying to wonder what is Macias doing in the midfield when CDK could. I'm not. CDK has done nothing to warrant, right, for him to start. But then why is Leao on the bench?
So I think the layout problem, I'll call it at the moment, is one, if you're going to play a 3-5-2, you really don't need him. The problem with that, though, also is that you're using Giroud and Origi starting, who don't have legs to be running at an Inter side. And so your objective obviously is not scoring, really. Like, you're completely out of possession, low block ball, which is not sort of this by design Pioli, you know, pressing, attacking, far prettier football that you guys deployed for the most part and won with last season. It's an interesting problem to have, for sure. But yeah, I think, you know, you have what, Leao on the bench. He comes in. I think one of the best chances that they had was actually Leao making that run in the latter part of the second half, carrying the ball and then passing it over, which was completely unfortunate to Giroud. And he just was not on the right foot, where his first touch was like, what was that? The ball got too far away from him, and like, that was it. To hold them and have, you know, yeah, disallowed goals aside, where you had, I personally don't enjoy saying nice things about Inter, but so it is and so it will be. Beautiful corner from Calhanoglu into, of course, Lautaro, where if that's the only goal they get, like.
Do you see the steam coming out of his ears right now, Christine? You're just pumping him up, Fabio. You said Calhanoglu. Right. You said beautiful corner. The steam's coming out of his ears right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the placement.
No, you're right.
The placement on that ball, I would have tap danced for that. It was perfect.
It's like I laugh at people. Look at Calhanoglu. He's saying, you know, shut up to La Curva. And I turn around, I'm like, but guys, if La Curva is making fun of him, why is he not allowed to tell him to shut up because he's assist on a goal? It's just,
yeah. That's the other thing. On the other side of that coin, nobody ever expected Calhanoglu to step up the way he did for Inter, and he's been absolutely like knocking it out of the park. Like, he's been performing, playing some of his best football, which is wild, but I don't think that everybody expected him to be as good as he's been. So that's on the other side of things, but unfortunately that doesn't fix the Milan problem right now. Also rumors, and not that I'm going to feed the rumor mill, but obviously that there's something brewing with Leao. Obviously there's been other teams that have been wanting to court him and otherwise, but then there's like speculation, like, is there something going on outside of that with Pioli? And it's like, well, what could be possibly happening? Like, he's obviously one of the best players on the squad.
No, he's the best player. Lose my mind. Okay. One, we need to start questioning Pioli. Two, he put a lineup out there that was almost like trying to negate what Inter was doing, because they were doing basically the same thing. They were playing the 3-5-2. We did nothing, nothing.
And they usually will. That's why I'm saying, like, they're way more comfortable playing against that sort of formation. But yeah, he set out for whatever reason thinking this has to be a heavily defensive match, and that's how we're going to get out of this. But you know, was it effective? Yes. Did it win them a match? No. So, you know, where do you, like, yes, you're still dropping points either way, but how do you fix this current problem, right? Like, this is now Leao's second match starting on the bench.
But why? Why is he on the bench? Then I'm going to start asking a lot of questions now. One, okay, with this formation, is this really helpful for us? Did we do anything, or at least come, like, listen, losing 1-0 is not the bar that I'm going to say, oh, things are getting better. They were not better. Because if you watch that game, we had no opportunities of any real sort until Leao comes on. What the hell did we start Macias for?
That's where the formation shifts. Oh. They never intended with that 3-5-2. You're playing a low block. You're not even playing anticipating having possession of the ball. That's out of possession football, right?
And we didn't have possession. It was long ball city yesterday. All they had was get it somehow back to Tata Lusano and kicking it up.
Right. You're playing with five defenders. The design of that is you're playing like parking the bus, right? It's Catenaccio, but like not pretty or fun at all. You didn't get any chances until that substitution happened in the latter second half, because that's when it finally shifted back to sort of a 4-2-3-1. By that point, it wasn't going to be enough. Okay. No. You had basically negated the midfielders that you had on the flank. So, you know, the wing back, so Teo isn't making those runs like he usually would because he's sitting and waiting. Same thing with Calabria on the other side. So, like, what do you expect to happen? You're playing a 3-5-2 in essence, but what you're actually playing is like a 5 and whoever can manage to wiggle and shake. Yeah. You can't move through Inter with that. It's just not reasonable.
And the thing that I really didn't like, and this is going to really get me upset.
I'll wait until I go to the Patreon questions, Fabio. Go on.
Macias was awful. That might be a fireable offense that he's even starting. But they're making me say that when Diaz came on at halftime, it actually looked a little better. The thing that I really hate sometimes is that when Bennacer's not there, we have nobody going to claim the ball that wants the ball to start an attack, to make some pass, to generate something. That's the one thing that was missing immediately the whole first half. There was nobody doing anything in our midfield. And I hate to say this because he's my favorite guy besides Leão, but Tonali is regressing right now. I don't know what was going on with him yesterday. He was more on the left side of the midfield instead of like Krunic being more like on the right side. And to me, I think that's his worst side because he seems to only – the only thing he ever does when he's on the left side is he tries to chip these log balls through. And he never finds them. Maybe one out of 100, he'll make a pass to Giroud. But Giroud was too slow. There's not much you can do. And obviously, he cost the best opportunity towards the end. But I'm just starting to sit back and say, you know what? If this guy wants to keep his job, which you win a championship the year before, you would assume you're shoot in for the most part for the next year, maybe unless you're coaching Chelsea. But Pioli is doing everything to warrant firing him in another week. Because I don't know how much more, as a Milan fan, I could put up with this. We have another brain fart against Torino. We're in big trouble. And then on Valentine's Day, we're going to get a bad Valentine's Day. I'm not going to use profanity with Christine here. All right? But you know what we're going to – you know what's going to happen. We're going to get fucked. And I don't want to get fucked this Valentine's Day, all right?
Okay, Fabio. Okay.
Sorry, I'm getting riled up. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Relax. Okay, take your medication. Now we're gonna go through the questions because they do talk about the game, and you know, obviously the first person to ask us the question is our beloved snake of a friend, Francis.
He's a nice snake.
Yeah, Francis was one of the first hosts of Red Card Weekly with me and Steve that started out like 10 years ago. He's an Interista, so we call him he's like a garden snake. He's a little snake. 6 months ago, after Milan's Scudetto win, I was told that Milan was the model to follow. I don't know if he's trolling. Today is more than obvious than there was never a real project, and this team was helped by the football gods to win the Scudetto, which we never disagreed, Francis. Do you guys believe that that Milan will be able to turn things around to become competitive again next season? And if so, how? So Amy's already writing us off, but...
If I may say one thing.
Yes, all right? Go ahead.
Don't talk about gods of soccer, okay? Our backup goalkeeper might be one of the reasons why we're on an insane slide, while your backup goalkeeper cost you the championship, all right?
Very true. Let's not forget, guys, Tatarusano won us the Scudetto. People want to keep on forgetting, you know, without that save in the derby. But anyways, do you think competitive-wise, like, you know, if you look at it, because this year you have Napoli. That's obviously probably going to win the Scudetto. That's the way I look at it there. And I do not see a Juve going through another year like they've done this year. So they're going to be competitive again, you know, next year. They need new players. They need a new coach. But in the end, guys, we are in Serie A. You're not going to go get those $40, $50, $60 million players. This is the reality. So, Christine, to you, how does Milan stay competitive, even just in Serie A? Let's just go just in Serie A.
I think that going into – I mean, I'm not writing them off entirely this season. I don't think that they're – I mean, it's very difficult to repeat a Scudetto, but –
Hypothetically,
if we're looking into next season,
I don't like a Juventina saying it's not easy to repeat a championship.
Statistically, not true. But I think that there needs to be more and better scouting. to fortify some of this depth that they lack. It's just they're too thin as a squad. And so when you have injuries like Tomori out, or he's underperforming, or, you know, players that like are not necessarily reaching the aptitude of what they expected to, right? Like they brought in Dest, and like Dest is a very okay defender, but he's more of like a winger. So like, if you're not going to play him that way, then like that kind of negates that kind of a pickup, right? De Ketelaere, like not the player, or he hasn't shown to be the player that he was expected to be. So I think that some of that is going to come into play largely. You have Giroud, who I love, who like is getting older. Like he's not as fast as he used to be. Is he precise? Does he get these like absolutely beautiful goals that you just have to sit there and be like, wow. Yes, he does. But you know, eventually that street is going to run out. You know, you need to figure out like who you're putting up top there. Cause again, same thing with Origi, like they're not the fastest guys to stick as a pairing. Right. So like, if you're going to try to retain Leao, like you need to get him some help up there. Otherwise, like, I feel like, you know, some of it's been just very unlucky. I think that they did something, I don't want to say it's miraculous. They did something extraordinary with the squad that they had last season. They really, really
the
did.
Miracle squad.
And like, there's okay, not enough. I don't even want to say it's a miracle, because that was pure talent and heart. That squad never gave up on each other. They 100%. Fought for that.
But when the stars align,
this team is lacking the hunger that we had last year to go out and even just again defensively, we're way worse. And a lot of it could be Mignon. You know, you miss players.
Sometimes there's players that when they're out, it's not just their skill that you're lacking. It's some of the intangibles that they bring to a side that they really, really need for the other players to function the way that they should be. And also, like, I see Dino's comment, that's without money, it's hard to find players. Which, like, yes, but also no. Okay, like, nobody expected Kvaratskhelia to be the player that he is. And he was scouted out of Georgian League. They didn't pay a shit ton of money for him like you could have for some other player that was a big name. Now, you're trying to mitigate risk there? Sure you are. But I think that, you know, there's a lot more that can be done smartly that can help sort of shore up this squad so that they look like, you know, they have contention for the Scudetto.
Okay.
I just want to say one more thing. Also, too, when you lose key players like a midfielder like Kessié and you don't address it,
a big loss. Yep.
That's a big thing. And we tried to fill it in with somebody for how much did we get Varane for? Like maybe 8 million. But like, again, this management has shown that they can find people like a Kalulu for 400,000 from Lyon. Like, you can find the gems. You just have to have good scouting. And everybody's going to keep bringing up Enzo Fernandez because, again, this guy was on our radar the year before, and we could have got him for a small amount. And now, look, he's worth over $100 million. So we also, too, a lot of times we look for people, but then we're cheap. We're going to argue about $2 million. Like, make the deal. Don't sign Macias for $5 million this year if it prevented us from getting somebody else.
Yeah.
Then again, there's so many.
Definitely smart front office business in terms of player interactions and transactions is always important. I'm just kind of laughing. So, Dino, I mentioned the one player that came for cheap because he's extraordinary. He's the best transfer of this entire season.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you that you can find the diamond in the rough with proper good scouting. You just have to maybe not look in the same corners of the world that everyone is. And unfortunately, with the way that scouting networks work, everybody ends up looking in the same patches of geography at the same time, which is kind of funny because it's like all of a sudden you start picking up people and signing people. You're like, where did that guy come from? And you're like, how did we end up with like five different players from the Turkish Superliga like in like a week? And that's exactly it, is everybody wants to look in the same spot and, you know, like inject some creativity. Look at the academy players, right? Everybody's so afraid of, and I think that this might be an overall like Serie A thing, is like, I feel like they are allergic a little bit to playing the kids. And it's like, you're developing them. Trust them a little bit. I'm not saying play them all at once, but play them wisely and filter them in so that they get some senior minutes. I think it's a combination of them.
I think Pioli's also, one of his faults is that he keeps relying on the players that got him there last year. And maybe to his own fault this season, where he should be giving some of the youth. Again, people would complain, why did Diaz get 45 minutes? We're not intending to keep Diaz next year. And if we are, That might be more of an indictment that management doesn't know what they're doing. We spent $35 million on a Cam. Get him in there one way, some way, however you can. Just get the kid on the field. We paid good money for him. Let him play.
I think it's hard, right? Because I think some of it is a combination of like them obviously working in the background to figure out what's going to repair the current problems. And the other part is, you know, dealing with a matter of external pressure, right? So it's like, well, if I do this, it becomes a very damned if you do, damned if you don't. Mark, you're absolutely right. It is a Serie A problem where it's more of a, you see a lot more youth trades and sales than seeing them filter through their individual academies into first team minutes. It's bizarre, but I think that, you know, as the game continues to evolve, we'll see more of that because, you know, why wouldn't you use your youth, especially if you're not trying to blow budgets and essentially commit fraud of various types to like keep your team afloat.
You know, on going through the other question, and still talking about Pioli, Nico from Milan Club Phoenix says, you know, with a questionable decision, how long do you think Pioli has left as a manager? Do you think, Fabio, two more losses?
Two games. Torino, Tottenham. If not, he's out. I'm sorry. Okay, how many games can you allow this to go on?
Okay, so what's playing devil's advocate here, no pun intended. You can Pioli. Who do you put in his place?
That Why are you going to ask question? Me that question?
Taking that job.
Yeah, I don't think, honestly, I don't know.
Who's putting you in a better position? These are hypotheticals.
No, but that's the whole thing, because a lot of people want to talk about that, but they won't talk about, so, Pochettino? What are you going to go with, guys? Don't tell me Gattuso, please, guys. Don't tell me Gattuso.
I know, but
he just left Valencia because they're not playing well. And it's a valid question, Christine. Everybody brings it up. When you fire Pioli, who comes in? The question is, how far are we going to let Pioli steer this ship up down the stream or into the side of the road? Like, how far are we going to let this guy go before we decide, you know what, we got to do something? You can't get rid of the players. Management's not firing themselves. There's only one person who can be made an example of, and that's the manager.
And you're going to bring a new coach with 15 games left.
Okay, so you burn the manager and things don't get better. Now what?
Maybe we're in the same situation if we keep him the whole way. But at least the players know.
What's the difference from letting him write out the contract? Because you're going to pay him out on it anyway.
That's true. But also, too, maybe another manager or an assistant manager comes, you know, goes, you know what? Adley, you haven't played all season. I'm going to give you a chance. Maybe these players now say, you know what? Pioli loved me the whole time. But now this other guy, I don't know where I stand with him. Let me play harder. Let me prove myself. Something needs to happen. You can't keep awarding this underperforming Milan over and over again because thanks for a few months ago. That's over. It's right now. If we don't do something to clip the bleeding, this could be far worse. I mean, right now, and he has the nerve to go on the mic and say our Champions League is making top four this year. He does. Listen, it's not mathematically out. Yes, it's not possible you'll ever catch Napoli, but you don't say it to the public. He's coming off like,
a little bit of that is PR because you have to put some sort of optimistic messaging out for the broader fan bases. You're never going to get on there and be like, hey, guys, we're shitting on Champions League. Forget it. Like, nobody is coming out with that. You have to say something. So I feel like you have to give them a little bit of grace with that because the front office is going to determine ultimately what is and isn't said. Could they have omitted it? Yes. But do I think that, you know, it's done and dusted for Milan already this season? No.
I don't think so either. I don't think they're going to fire him.
I think there's a lot of matches to go yet.
I think the only way that they fire him is if the players go up to Maldini and company and say, we don't want to play for him anymore, which I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Listen, the only way that he's going to get dismissed, in my opinion, is if he's lost the dressing room. Yeah. And then, by all means, like, you have to. You don't have a choice at that point. They force your hand. If that's not what's actually happening, and obviously we don't have a glimpse into what he and the rest of his team are doing, going through strategy and varying tactics and players and what they're doing in training. If I could sit there and watch them all day, then I could probably figure this out a lot faster. But it's too hard to say. Like, there's no reason to, because one, the the cost of it, the cost of firing a manager to bring on somebody else, is you're bleeding money unless Pioli decides that he wants to be kind and say, like, cool, I'll just pick up another job. Because most of their contracts have a clause that are like, if they report employment elsewhere, then XYZ, this contract ceases to exist.
Yeah, I don't think he's firing, but thanks for the question. Now, Fabio, this is going to be towards you because Alex, Vinny and Steve, well, Vinny and Vinny Fabio, 2023 has been pretty dark so far. We have been playing without a sense of purpose and togetherness. We haven't been able to see any of our new signings or youth player give us a sense of hope for the future. Plus, our youth team is doing horrible and management is tight-lipped and holding status quo for now. What positivity or silver lining can you dig deep to find about this team to help us heal us hurting Milan faithful? So, Fabio, what positive? I'm usually with the positive.
I don't know if I have much positive. You know what? You know what the positive is? That Milan clubs, Milan fans, the Curva Sud still going out there chanting the whole time. That's every time we talk about top and flop on our show, I say there is no top lately. The only top are the Milan fans that spend their hard-earned money and go out there and still chant for 90 minutes for their club. Right now, that's the only positive thing, is that we're still coming out. When the fans finally get fed up with what they're seeing on the field and they feel like the club is not respecting them, or maybe the people that are running the club, which is not going to happen with Maldini there, then when they start not wanting to show up, that's when we all know we're in big deal. So right now, all it takes is one game. And Torino's had our number. They've given us a lot of heartache this season. So for me, let's just turn it around there. And I always believe, all right? I'm very negative right now because of this slide. But
yeah, honestly, never – somebody remind me never to ask Fabio for a pep talk.
No, that's not
true. No, he's pretty good.
That's not true. I will give you the best pep talk because before it starts, I will rile you up. I will get you to believe in yourself if you don't believe. I think Tato Rusano is 20-20 vision, and he's going to make every save, and Giroud's going to find his legs, and Tonali's going to go back to his form, and it's all going to happen. What they do on the field – I have nothing.
I think the silver lining is everyone seems to still be trying, including Pioli. Whether or not you want him to try to switch things up, they're still literally throwing shit up against the wall and hoping that something works, which means they still care. Mike will be back soon. Fingers crossed.
Kalulu and Bennacer signing, guys. That's a positive, right? I know it's not 2023,
There's good things.
And yeah, Ibra coming back, Milanello slapping, probably going to slap a couple of these players around.
Brandon Swan Barbone.
Yes.
Cannot believe, sir, that you're calling the Scudetto a fluke. That was not a fluke. Things do not happen accidentally.
But Brandon, I know what I think, not that we call it last year. The best thing I could compare it to was World Cup 2006, Euro 20 in the last Euros. Italy was by far the best team. I mean, was definitely not the best team in both those tournaments and still managed to win, right? So everything aligned for Milan, just the way everything aligned for Leicester City when they won their championship. The Lazio goal, Tonali. Inter with that Bologna blunder, guys missing points and no teams like Napoli. So all that stuff was lined up. But us, we freak out to say, like, how did this team win a Scudetto? You know, and don't get me wrong, it was very joyful.
They're a talented team. I'm telling you, they are very good. The thing is, I think they all collectively overperformed, and maybe they are actually a squad that need the positivity to push them through. There's a lot of people that once they get down, it's very hard to come swing back upward. It's like you just can't be losing like that because the morale just gets shred out and then you can't fight back. Like, it happens, right? I just think that they had the most favorable conditions for the players that you guys have and they played well. Period, end of story. They were the better team.
All right. Thank you for those kind words. Gio just says, keep up the great work. Big up to Mark and Milan Club Boston for the recognition. I could not tolerate the team playing like cowards yesterday. Time for the organization to get its shit together. Gio always he just wants to state facts, no questions. And Ryan, you know, he was basically, I take in this question because it's like, you know, the back three and how is Messias a better right-sided central midfielder than CDK? Why was CDK not given the chance? We did discuss that a little bit. He goes, I'm convinced that Pioli has a vendetta against the kid. CDK has more upside than Messias, surely. I know, but in the end, we're not coaches. I don't know what's going on. Adley, Why is Adley not having not even a second to play? I'm not a coach. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, just the way he put that question, right? And we discussed it, CDK, Macias. To Friday, guys. To Friday against the Torino. Fabio, you're saying two games, right?
That's it. He only gets two more games as far as I'm concerned.
I took the day off for the Champions League game because it's going to be drinking my sorrows away. Really drinking my sorrows away. Or somehow drinking because I can't believe what I just saw would just beat Tottenham. So you see, I'm covered. I'm covered.
I hope that Milan pull an upset and beat Tottenham for various reasons. But yeah, I
don't know why I have this feeling that somehow, some way, look at what did they beat? They beat Man City yesterday?
Yeah.
Man City yesterday, and us, we're gonna be there. Little Milan, you know, we're gonna may see like you never know. You know, the ball is round.
That's the thing with football, you never know who's showing up on what day, and the stars align, and suddenly, like, you have the best game you've ever played in your life.
Exactly. And City, we'll shall see. Maybe that's gonna be a special for you guys to discuss on the next show. No, we're gonna tell Fabio. Gio, Man City. How many years of investigating did they come out today? 4 years, last four or 5 years?
Yeah, the last four.
So, you know what Steve had said in the chat? He goes, we're all like, okay, yeah, they're going to get a little slap on the finger. I'm like, no, this is a real investigation. And if this goes down with some sort of like hefty penalty, have we seen a big change in football? We shall see. I guess we'll take a look.
I feel like my expectation is they are going to get hit with a very large fine.
So a slap on the wrist. We'll show maybe point deduction.
To a billionaire, that means nothing.
I don't see it retroactively impacting, you know.
Yeah. Trophies or anything like that. But anyways, we shall see. So guys, so for anybody this Friday, right, would like to watch, are you on this Friday for Serie A, or do you have a set schedule?
I'm not. So right now we're on hiatus for Calcio e Cappuccino. For the rest of the month, I'm going to be traveling. But I think March we should be back at it, or at least I'll be back at it in March.
All right.
So, yeah.
And on for CBS and for, so check it out, guys. Go follow her on Twitter, right? You can catch her legally, guys. Remember, legally on the television screens across the United States.
Illegally on TV screens, and also legally on Twitter. So
legally on Twitter, there we go. And I just wanted to take the time to really thank you for taking the time to coming on, Fabio. Do you have any closing things to say? You have a little bit more rage inside of you?
I always have a lot of rage. This team gives me agita the whole week.
But hold on a second. Here's the positive. You can see, you said it's your wife's birthday on Wednesday, and you were going to record the podcast. So we saved you, because imagine telling your wife, yeah, babe, sorry, I can't today because I have to do the podcast. So Steve and you, tag teamed, you're on here tonight.
We did a little formation switch, like a 3-5-2. That's what we did. We sent Steve over, both good-looking Italian guys.
I don't know, Fabio, this didn't seem very defensive. It seemed very attacking, this whole format today.
You know what? That's what we needed for Monday night. They tell us, you know, Milan's been wearing us down week in, week out.
Maybe
lately.
They need to actually sub you on field.
You know what? I told you, if you want to pay somebody to just sit on the bench, I promise I will give you more than what Adley and some of these other guys are giving, because I will be yelling at them. Maybe they won't all understand. You know, I could take a couple of Duolingo classes of Italian to sharpen myself up, or whatever language they're speaking. I got a lot of French guys. I'll yell at everybody. Cool, maybe, what happened to you? Donali, come on, man.
Fabio, this is like a ringing endorsement for hiring Gattuso, I think. I'm not sure.
You know what? Yeah. If he at least goes out there and, I mean, again, come on, we're not going to pretend Gattuso's going to come and be like some great tactician or anything like that, but he will give these players the fire to remember that what shirt you're wearing and the weight it carries, that you should be going out there and putting better performances. I don't know if Pioli's lost the locker room. There were rumors about possibly Deo not being happy with him, and now Leão sitting. All I'm saying is that, please, Padre Pioli, please, we loved you all year. You're on fire all year, even a couple of years before. Now you're frozen like you're in the middle of Lambeau Field, all right? You got to wake up. put your hand warmers on and get your ass and your team going, all right? Because all Milan fans, we don't belong in sixth place. And for God's sakes, do not make us miss out on another Champions League. You've been defying the odds here with Milan from what you've done your rest of your career. Keep doing it now. Turn them around. So listen, I'm not here to bring all the negativity. I'm here to bring the fire, all right? So let's wake up and turn the whole team back on. And Zlatan, what are you doing there, bro? What are you doing? How come you haven't kicked nobody in the face yet? I don't want to hear nothing about Diaz as a little Ibrahimovic. Stop lying to the kid, all right? He better wake up before he ends up on some other bonehead team.
Breathe. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
One thing I'll say. Milanistis of Twitter, Milanistis of the internet, Milanistis around the world. How do you turn your back on this team? We went to the fucking banter years. I do not get where you guys come off and saying we're fucking shit. They could go to Serie B for all I fucking care. Like, what is this, guys? Seriously, like, get together, have a hug. Like, yeah, it's shitty. Yeah, it's shitty right now.
From my perspective, I have dealt with this a lot with the Juve fan base. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just a symptom, I think, of Calcio fans where when you start having success, you expect it. It becomes an expectation, not something to strive for. And when you're not met with it, people get very emotionally unsettled.
I get it. But 2011, for 10 years, I never turned my back. Turn my back on my beloved.
I don't
Milan.
Think that people turn their backs. I think that outwardly they don't have a better outlet to voice their frustration. And some people, everybody I'll say, has different levels of communication skills. And sometimes it comes off entirely wrong. I think that when the teams are down, like that's a necessity for when, especially the clubs that you all belong to kind of band together, because, you know, good times are bad. Like those relationships are important to lean into. And it's good to know that, you know, you're going to have the same people beside you to watch your losing side as when things are riding high and you're winning a Scudetto. Like it's just, the community is important above all else. Just try to stay positive. Like, I can't believe I'm giving pep talks to like Milan.
What
you said is 100% true. The team gives you 90 minutes. Your club and the people that you share that time with, that's where all the real bonding actually happens. So,
yeah.
Yes, you're there because you all love Milan together. But to have a community to support one another,
look at the five families. Look at Milan Club Philly with David and Angie that actually took the trip up here a couple of years ago, embracing like we had just, you know, we've been seeing each other for 25 years. For Angie and Dave to say, oh, you're coming to the derby with your cousin? We have an apartment rented out. Stay with us so we could go to the derby together. This is what I'm talking about, guys. This is, you know, and it's not just Milanistis all over the world, like, you know, fan bases, but you are allowed to complain. You're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to do whatever you want, but don't you dare tell me you're no Milanista di cuore when you're going to, I can't watch anymore. I stopped watching Milan and no, che tu non sei, non sei roba da Milan. Us that we were here and you want to talk about the winning. Me, I watched from, you know, the early 90s to the champions that we did, the Berlusconi era. And I'm still here. I'm still here. So how dare you call yourselves Milanistas and you're going to go, you know, fuck all of you. That's what I got to say. You're not true Milanistas. You're just bandwagoners. Enough. Okay, I'm good. I'm feeling better. Guys, thank you for staying with us for the whole hour, Christine. Once again, at the C Cupo, guys, check her out. And Calcio and Cappuccino, possibly in March. I guess they could subscribe to.
We are reconfiguring things, so we will be going from an audio-only pod to video. So you'll see all of our pretty faces week after week, and you can watch us all furrow our brow at each other a little bit better. So hopefully, it will be a more interactive experience for all of us.
And this, I will be able to watch legally in my home country of Canada. Yes. Correct. All right.
I think they're trying to spread that out so that there's more access to Paramount Plus. At least that's what I'm hearing. So.
And good job. Good job to everybody there at the CBS Sports, especially for the English content and to the whole team. Keep up the great work. And yes,
thank you, Christine, for coming on. Thank you so much.
No, really, really appreciate it.
It was a great time. Also, everybody in the chat, thank you for being so interactive.
Our chat, the guys, they're always lively on the group chats, especially now here you have, if you were part of our WhatsApp, there's a WhatsApp Patreon. At halftime, there was how many? I think 247 messages, and the Milan Club Montreal had about 300 some. Open, close. I'm just like, it just freaks me out, but they're very lively. But I know I'm not going to expect you to finish off with this line, Christine, that it's okay. But thank you once again for coming on. Fabio, ovunque e sempre.
Forza Milan, baby!
Ciao, guys. Italia!